Text 16 Iti
Tang
Vira
Marichaha
Kripanang
Bohu
Bhashinim
Pruttahanunayan
Bacha
Prabhridhananga
Kashmalam
Iti tang vira marichaha
Kripanang
bahubhashinim
Pratyahanu nayan
bacha
Prabhridhananga kashmalam
Iti tang vira marichaha
Kripanang bahubhashinim
Pratyahanu nayan
bacha
Prabhridhananga
kashmalam
Iti tang vira marichaha
Kripanang bahubhashinim
Pratyahanu nayan bacha
Prabhridhananga
kashmalam
Iti tang vira marichaha
Kripanang bahubhashinim
Pratyahanu nayan vacha
Pravridhananga
kasmalam
Iti tam vira maricha
Kripanang
bahubhashinim Pratyahanu nayan vacha
Iti,
das,
tam,
unto her,
vira,
O hero,
marichaha,
the son of Marichi,
Kashyapa,
kripanam,
unto the poor,
bahubhashinim,
too talkative,
pratyoha,
I'm sorry, pratyaha,
replied,
anunayan,
pacifying,
bacha,
by words,
prabriddha,
highly agitated,
ananga,
lust,
kashmalam,
contaminated.
Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada.
O hero, Vidura, Diti, being thus afflicted by the contamination of lust, and therefore poor and talkative, was pacified by the son of Marichi in suitable words. Please repeat. O hero,
Vidura,
Diti,
being thus afflicted
by the contamination of lust,
and therefore poor and talkative, was pacified by the son of Marichi.
Was pacified by the son of Marichi.
In suitable words.
In suitable words.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When a man or woman is afflicted by the lust of sex desire, it is to be understood as sinful contamination. Kashyapa was engaged in his spiritual activities, but he did not have sufficient strength to refuse his wife, who was thus afflicted. He could have refused her with strong words expressing impossibility, but he was not as spiritually strong as Vidura. Vidura is addressed here as a hero because no one is stronger in self-control than a devotee of the Lord. It appears that Kashyapa was already inclined to have sexual enjoyment with his wife, and because he was not a strong man, he tried to dissuade her only with pacifying words. Iti tang dira marichaha kripanang bahubhashinim pratyahanu nayan bacha prapridhananga kashmalam. O hero Vidura, Diti, being thus afflicted by the contamination of lust and therefore poor and talkative, was pacified by the son of Marichi in suitable words. So the conception of two great demons are being described, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. It was in Satya Yuga when practically everybody was extremely pure. Everybody was pure. And there was no contamination. The contamination gradually started at the end of Satya Yuga. Material nature is a contaminated place. But in Satya Yuga, the contamination is the least. But then gradually, as the time progresses, people become more and more contaminated. And here, the description is that Diti became agitated by sex desire at a wrong time, the evening hours, which is actually the hour when the ghostly creatures roam around, mainly the associates of Lord Shiva, and that is the time they start to become active, when the sun just sets and it starts to get dark. And at that inauspicious time, Diti became agitated by sex desire and approached her husband. Kashyapa was situated in knowledge. He had the Vedic understanding, the spiritual understanding. He had the real knowledge. So he tried to dissuade her, but she kept on insisting and pleading to him, and as a result of that, ultimately Kashyap had to succumb to her appeal. But because he was situated in knowledge, he could forecast that the consequence, what will be the consequence of that act? The consequence of that act will be there will be two great demons will be born. That will be explained afterwards. In this particular verse, Prabhupada is making one very important point. That point is, although Kashyapa was engaged in his spiritual activities, but he was not strong enough. Now we can also consider, like, if Kashyap is not strong enough, then who is strong? Kashyap is such an exalted personality. He is the father of the demigods. He is the father of the demons. He is the father of practically all different species of life. The serpents, the nagas came from him. Demigods, adityas came from him. And the demons came from him. So it was he was naturally a very, very powerful personality. And here Prabhupada is saying that he was not strong enough. Like Kashyap, if you take Kashyap, who is Kashyap? Kashyap is the son of Marichi. Who is Marichi? Marichi is the son of Brahma. The 10 sons that came from Brahma's mind, Marichi is one of them. Pulasta Pulaha Marichi Kratu Angira. So Marichi is Brahma's son. Brahma's grandson is Kashyap. But you can see, like Prabhupada is saying, he's not strong enough. This is the meaning of the strength of material nature. This indicates the strength of material nature. The material nature, no matter how strong one is weak compared to material nature. And it is the influence of the material nature that causes sex desire. And it is very, very difficult to overcome that onslaught of material nature. Krishna himself said, Daivi hesha gunamai mamu maya durattaya. My maya, my mahamaya is durattaya. It's impossible to overcome, impossible to surmount. Because it's daivi, it's my maya. But then we see the other part of the statement. Mame bhaje prapadante maya metam tarantite. So Kashyap was not engaged in pure devotional service. He was engaged in karmakanda section of the Vedas or gyanakanda section of the Vedas. Karmakanda and Jnanakanda section of the Vedas are the materialistic side of it. As long as one is in the material nature, materially motivated, he is affected by Karmakanda and Jnanakanda. But when one surrenders to Krishna, then only he becomes a devotee of Krishna. Surrendering to Krishna means becoming a devotee of Krishna, and then it is another side of the Vedas called the Bhagavat side. Vedas has two sides. One is the Karmakanda, Jnanakanda side, and the other is the Bhagavat side, devotional side. Karmakanda and Jnanakanda is related to adjustment to the material nature and freedom from the material body. Karmakanda is involvement in the material nature. Jnanakanda is freedom from material bondage. So both are actually materially related. Engagement or involvement and freedom from material nature, both are material, related to material. Whereas Bhagavat's aspect devotional aspect is beyond material nature. That is spiritual. So unless and until one becomes situated in the spiritual platform, no matter how powerful that personality is, he will be under control of Maya. Mama Maya Durattaya, that's the point Krishna is making. So personality like Marichi, what to speak of Marichi? Even Brahma himself got afflicted by sex desire.
Actually, when the sex desire becomes an undesirable act, when it is illicit sex, when the real purpose of sex desire is to have procreation, progeny. So when it is for the sake of progeny, then it is not inauspicious. Rather, Krishna is telling, dharma abiruddha kama asmi bharatarsham. Dharma abiruddha. The man-woman relationship, if it is not contrary to the religious principle, that means if man-woman relationship is meant only for procreation, that is dharma. And that is Krishna himself. But when it is for sense pleasure, then it is immoral and illicit. So that has to be given. So here, although it was meant ultimately to give birth to the children, but the main objective was not really procreation but sense enjoyment. Diti became lusty and she approached her husband. Her husband didn't mind, but the time was not right, an inauspicious time. And because of their union at that inauspicious time, led to the birth of two terrible demons, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. Two daityas. Diti's sons are daityas. And so Prabhupada is pointing out that here Vidura has been addressed as a hero. In one hand, Kashyapa has been pointed out as Kashmalam. Prabriddha Ananga Kashmalam is contaminated by the influence of Kamdev Ananga. It is an impurity, Kashmalam. Although a very powerful person, actually personalities like Kashyapa can create a planetary system himself. He's almost as powerful as Brahma. He's Brahma's grandson. Like, as we have seen, there, when Devahuti got married to Kardama Muni, she was the daughter of a king and she underwent a lot of austerities because of her husband's situation. He was a totally detached renunciate. But he made a planet for the pleasure of Devahuti. Just one whole planet was made by him. So we have to understand that Kashyapa was, if not as powerful, he was more powerful, if not at least as powerful as Kartavarma. He could create a planetary system. His potency, his power is beyond our imagination. But even he is identified as a weakling. Prabhupada is pointing out that he didn't have sufficient strength to refuse his wife. That is how strong the sexual impulses in man and woman. On the other hand, Vidura
has been identified as a hero. Kashyapa is identified as a weakling, and Vidura has been identified as a hero. Why? Because Vidura had never been afflicted by sex desires. Why? Because Vidura is a devotee of the Lord. Why a devotee can conquer sex desire? How? Because he gets the higher taste. Sex desire, sexual act has some taste, some sense pleasure. But the pleasure of Krishna consciousness is so much greater that when one gets that taste, one becomes totally disgusted with this mundane act of sense gratification. And time again we have seen such examples. Haridas Thakur, Mayadevi herself came to him. But Haridas Thakur was not affected by that. Rather, Mayadevi became a devotee by coming in contact with Haridas Thakur. And so in this way we can see that although the world is in such a terrible state today, but the devotees, they are safely situated. For a devotee, not that of course all the devotees are strong enough to withstand the influence of lust, but what actually gives them the main protection is the association. You stay in the association of devotees, you'll be safe. If you are not in the association of devotees, if you are not protected by the association of devotees, you'll have difficulty. Therefore, always remain in the association, and good association. The devotees who are not interested in sex life, be in their association. On the other hand, those who, although they are devotees but thinking of sex desire, their association can be very dangerous. Stri Shango Shangi. Stri Shangi. Association of women is bad, but association of a man who is an associate of women, his association is even worse. Therefore, we should be very careful about selecting by choosing our association, whom we associate with. And the thing, reality is, you run after sex desire, you'll miss out on Krishna consciousness. Either this or that. You can't stand on both the boat. Do naam par pair nahi rakh sakoge. Dui-nauka, paadite-paadite-paadite. You have to decide which nauka, which boat you want to be in. If you want to go in the boat of sense enjoyment, which ultimately culminates into sex desire, okay, you can go in that boat. But then you won't get the taste of Krishna consciousness. So in order to be in Krishna consciousness, we have to commit to Krishna consciousness. It will be difficult initially to overcome sex desire. It will be difficult, but if you stay in the right association, it will be easy. Those thoughts will not even come. And even if they come, the other devotees' association will purify. Therefore, always stay in the association of good devotees. Stay fixed up in the association of good devotees. And pray to Krishna all the time so that you don't deviate from his lotus feet. Then, yes, then we'll be able to conquer, will be able to overcome the onslaughts of Maya, like Haridas Thakur. He is our Acharya. What is the meaning of an Acharya? Acharya means we can become like them. We have to become like them. What they taught, we must follow. Thus, the example that they set, that is our standard. We shouldn't think, oh, Haridas Thakur could do that, but I cannot. Then why did Haridas Thakur set the example? Haridas Thakur is saying that this is the standard that you have to maintain. It may be difficult, but this is the standard. And why this is the standard? Because when you get the higher taste, you will automatically overcome the lower taste. When you get nice, delicious Mahaprasad, would you like to eat something that is rotten? But if you don't have anything to eat, then you'll go for the rotten food. Your stomach is hungry, you are starving, then yes, whatever you get, you will eat. But when you have a nice plate of Mahaprasad, then why should you even look at the rotten food? So that is the situation of a devotee. Because he got the higher taste, because he got the highest spiritual enjoyment, that's why he is not interested in all this material sense gratifying activity. And you must always remember that that it is a weakness, it's the impurity. Now I'm seeing that how things are changing. Like during Prabhupada's time, no one wanted to get married. Once somebody cursed me, I was a brahmachari. He'll get married. I curse you that you'll get married. And I was devastated. And whoa, what a terrible curse. And so that is how the mood used to be during Prabhupada's time. Everybody wanted to remain a brahmachari and then eventually become a sannyasi. But now the standard is everybody has taken for granted. Not everybody, most of the devotees, that I have to get married. Like so often I get letters. I want to change ashram. And generally I don't want to interfere in that. Okay, if you want to change your ashram, go ahead. But you have to be able to maintain your family. Don't get married at the expense of the temple. Oh, I'll get married and the temple will maintain me. Because it will never happen. For the time being, when you are two of you, then temple may maintain you for the time being, but not for very long. Most of the temples in ISKCON, they don't want to maintain the householders because it's very expensive. Temples are struggling. So those who want to become householders, go get a job outside and maintain it. That's the price you pay for your sense gratification. If you want to have sense gratification, go and earn the money to maintain yourself. And when I used to take that strong stand, it was very shocking to many devotees. I'm talking about when I was in Mayapur, and because general tendency was that most of the devotees wanted to get married. And that's why the feeling was, how can, why can, Maharaj, you may be a special person, you can, but how can everybody? I said, try, at least give it a try. If the standard is everybody will get married, then no one will remain a brahmachari. All brahmacharis will think, someday I'll also get married. At least here I want the brahmacharis to maintain a strong standard, nice standard. Brahmachari life is the best life.
And I tell them, if you want to get married, ask three householders how householder life is. take their opinion. Find out how they feel. And you will see. If they're truthful, at least you won't feel like getting married. Because household life is not easy. To be alone is so much easier. Now first you are, from one you become two. From two you'll become four. It just keeps on going like that. And that's why generally what I wanted to create a standard here, which I am trying to do also, that the temple is going to be for brahmacharis. And those who are householders, there will be opportunities, job opportunities, they will be able to work. We'll have our own businesses. They'll be able to work there and they'll get their money, salary, to maintain themselves. Then only our temples will be able to grow. Otherwise, temples will become burdened. Why most of the temples are empty today? Because there's hardly any brahmachari. In India, the situation is not so bad. But outside of India, most of the temples are in a very bad shape because there is no brahmachari. So these are all practical considerations. It's not that I have something against household life. But my point is that temple life and household life do not blend. Householders have to have their own arrangements for maintaining themselves. In some very rare cases, some Brahminical devotees can be maintained, but it's better that the temple is free from that encumbrance. And that's why we are making some arrangements here. Actually, some devotees have come forward now who are trying to free me from my managerial and financial responsibility. Like for last so many years, what is happening? Locally we are not generating any funds. I have to arrange for all the money. And they saw the pressure that I was in. And now they are trying to create some financial base. And maybe someday we will have a meeting. Like they are forming a committee here. They had like in that committee Ganganayan is the chairman, and who else is there? From the temple? Premabhakti and Joyesh are there, and Shudipta and Mukesh. Shudipta and Mukesh are taking care of the financial side, and so that I don't have to worry about the finances. And they're already taking care of it. And temple management will go on just as it is, but they're coming in to free me from the financial responsibility. So if that works, that will set a very nice model. The householders who are responsible, they are taking care of the financial side. So that brahmacharis and sannyasis don't have to worry so much about financial things. I being a sannyasi had to get involved in all kinds of financial affairs because there was no householders doing it. That's why I had to do it. Recently I gave $500,000 to the GBC. Now that money doesn't come from nowhere. I have to make the arrangements. But the result is it becomes very strenuous. But if there are businesses and those who are competent enough to successfully run their businesses, if they come forward and create the financial base for ISKCON, that will be very nice. Then sannyasis and brahmacharis can be engaged in preaching and temple activities. So that's what I have been thinking. That let the brahmacharis be free to be completely engaged in temple activities. And those who will want to get, those who would like to get married, I know that everybody won't be, it won't be possible for everyone to remain a lifelong brahmachari. Okay, then those who want to get married, they can get a job. The job can be provided from our own business. And in this way the householder community can be maintained. Our growth has to be homogeneous, and the bottom line is that we are here in Krishna consciousness to get the higher taste. No one should think that, oh, I'll come to this Krishna consciousness and get married and have a family. Those who are thinking that way, ISKCON is not for them. ISKCON is basically a place for spiritual cultivation. And management should be very concerned about that. The thing is, if you want to have material enjoyment, then make your arrangement. Not at the cost of Srila Prabhupada. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande. Does anybody have any question?
You said that we are here to develop the higher taste. But in the practicing stage, where we haven't yet developed a higher taste to such an extent that we completely, completely in one sense overcome such desire. On the other hand, we are also dabbling in a practice of Krishna. So we have maybe to some extent a little higher taste, but not so much. So in such a situation, how does one practice? Celibacy to a reasonably good standard.
You see, as you say, like you're practicing for the higher taste. So keep on practicing till you get the higher taste. If you think I'll practice for some time and then you give up, then where is the possibility of getting the higher taste? Right? You're practicing to become a football player. Right? Now when you want to become a football player, what does your practice lead you to? To become a football player. Right, and play football. But if you give up your practice, can you become a football player? So that is the point. When you are practicing for something, don't deviate from your goal. Keep on practicing. Because you have committed yourself to something. So stick to that. Don't give up. Difficulties will be there. Sometimes you'll get hurt, sometimes you'll break your knees. But still, you don't give up. You get well and carry on. Yes, Sonny?
Maharaj, sex desire is a result of mind or body?
Both. So mind and body are very closely connected.
So sometimes it happens that man thinks that it is better to get the sex and get rid of the for time being. Is it?
See, if something is bad for you, You see, everything has a purpose. Everything has a purpose. Sex desire, sex life has a purpose. The purpose is procreation. To procreate children. That is why it's needed. Otherwise it wouldn't have been there.
But nowadays it is not there, so most of the...
Right. So that's why, and you see, if you read Bhagavatam, you will see that Brahma considered that this process of procreation is very painful. It's painful for the man, it's painful for the woman. It's so painful that in normal condition, no one will want to get involved in that process. Therefore, certain pleasure has been added to that, so that the man and woman will become attracted to that act, and procreation will continue. But now what is happening, the real purpose is lost, and for a little bit of pleasure that is there, everyone is running after that. And look at the result of that, was the condition of the society. Everyone is running after for that momentary sense pleasure. And they are suffering for that.
I have two questions. First is, as I was saying, while one is practicing, at that time there is sometimes what happens, lust becomes, it's not there all the time, but when it actually influences a person, like in this case, Diti, so it is a very sudden and a very, at that stage one finds oneself practically very helpless in one sense. So in that nick of the moment, when one hasn't yet developed the higher taste, what should one immediately do, and how can one
develop the higher taste? Without the higher taste, there is no possibility. Or if not the higher taste, at least the understanding of the higher taste, at least the proper knowledge. That's what is nice about the Indian culture. In Indian culture, from the childhood, one is taught about that. That certain acts are immoral. Certain acts are not. But in the Western culture, it's not there. Like everything goes. Yes.
I want to use the example of Cape Town Temple, even though it's very small and it can almost not be compared to anything in India. But there we have 5 brahmacharis living, only 2 in Saffron. They do preaching and they do some book distribution and mangalarti. All the other activities in the temple are done by outside devotees coming in, dressing the lords on Sundays. Well, actually they only dress the lord on Sundays. Making garlands, Matajis come in to iron Srila Prabhupada's clothes, the Prabhus come in to put the Lord to rest in the evening. All these activities are done by Grihasthas coming out, and they're all very responsible devotees looking after their families.
Yeah, very responsible devotees, but they're doing it only once a week.
Yes, that's
Should
true.
That be the standard?
That's not the standard.
So that's the difference. If there are brahmacharis in the temple,
yes,
then they would have done that every day.
Yes.
But because it is left up to the outsiders, they come only at their free time, on Sunday and once a week.
Yes.
Do you think Srila Prabhupada established ISKCON to come to that standard?
No.
Then?
I'm just wondering, how can we encourage people to stay in
anyway,
brahmacharya life, or just to come to the temple and live the life of brahmacharya? There's only 5 brahmacharyas and no...
That's why I gave the class today. What did I tell through the whole class? Mm-hmm. Become serious about your spiritual life. Then only you can become brahmacharya. Those who are not serious about spiritual life, they will go here and there and everywhere. And the result is, they will suffer and this movement will suffer. Come and serve this movement. You have committed yourself and serve the movement. Don't take advantage, don't use the movement as the means of survival and sense gratification. We are here to serve. Like often I quote a statement by John F. Kennedy, when he in his maiden speech after he became the President of the United States, don't ask what United States is going to do for you. Consider what you are going to do for the United States. So I think that should be our slogan also. Don't ask what ISKCON is going to do for you, but consider what you are going to do for ISKCON. Then only ISKCON will vanish. And yes, when ISKCON grows, then ISKCON will take care of everybody. ISKCON will take care of the whole world. But when it is just a small, in a growing stage, then if you burden the society with all kinds of pressure, then how will the society grow?
My second question, actually, previously in India, the grihasthas used to consider children as a wealth, and as many children as one could procreate, the better was considered. But nowadays the tendency is to think that children are a burden. Better not to have any children if we even have maybe one or two. So why this change in the people's consciousness, and is that okay?
It's mainly due to mechanization. You see, manpower is not important. Horsepower has become important. Because a man will need so many facilities. But a machine won't need anything. Just put some gas in it and it will run 24 hours a day.
And for devotees, is that also okay? Or?
Devotees have to make the best out of the bad bargain. We are not going to change the society overnight. So we have to go along with the society with a view to change it. Yes.
One question from Ramananda Prabhu. I have seen Guru perform an amazing act of controlling the mind. Should we Westerners think we can achieve that, or we must hope for birth in India?
What's that?
I have seen Guru Maharaj performing amazing acts of controlling the mind. Should we Westerners think?
Should we?
Westerners.
Should we Westerners?
Or should we Westerners?
Think we can achieve that, or must we hope for a birth in India?
Birth is not important. What is important is your ability. Do it. Where you are born, it doesn't matter. Today, most of the Indians are even worse than the Westerners. At least in the West. Anyway, it's not a matter of where you are born. Srila Prabhupada has given you Krishna consciousness, practice it and you'll become a superman. Just practice Prabhupada's teaching. You don't have to be born in India. You have to simply be born in ISKCON and grow up in ISKCON in a proper way. Then the result is you'll become a superman. The result is you'll become a pure devotee. And then your mind, intelligence, false ego, everything will be perfectly controlled. Alright, Ramananda? Yes, Ramananda.
When someone joins in the temple, that time initially their intention, desire is so pure, but gradually this desire develops. What is the root cause of it?
The root cause is bad association. And the worst association is the mind. So first you control your mind, try to control your mind, and make sure that the environment is right. If you, like, people may come with all good intention to become a very nice, good devotee, fixed up devotee. But then he comes and sees that the devotees are, you know, what he thought them to be. Then he'll think gradually, why should I become anything different? Let me also become one of them. So that is how it should be. Abhaithi. So that's why I'm so emphatic that in the temple the atmosphere should be very, very pure, very clean. You all become very good brahmacharis, very good householders, very good devotees. And Prabhupada said in ISKCON, the householders are also brahmacharis. In ISKCON, the householder is also brahmachari. And Prabhupada said that the householders, those who are only together for the sake of procreation, that is not, they are brahmacharis.
Can I ask you a question? What should be the instruction for the girls?
They should become brahmacharinis. Alright, good Ram. Actually, well, good that you brought up that point. That reminds me, once Prabhupada mentioned that I want all my all my boys to remain brahmacharis and girls to get married. And I do not know how to solve that problem. Now then Prabhupada said, this is one problem I haven't been able to solve. So we have to see. That's why it's better that you find your husband outside. And make them into good devotees. The girls can. So in that way our number will increase without losing anything. Any other question? Yes.
From Guru Gauranga Prabhu, when Srila Prabhupada was here, book distribution was ISKCON's primary function. Is this still the best method to spread Krishna consciousness?
Yeah. Hare Krishna Guru Gauranga, nice to hear from you after a long time. Of course I was not giving classes also, and last few weeks have been very busy. Yeah, Prabhupada, you see, our movement is the preaching movement. It's a movement which is based on preaching, and for preaching the books are the basis. Prabhupada gave that simple formula: books are the basis, preaching is the essence. Or first is the preaching. Preaching is the essence. Books are the basis. Purity is the force. And utility is the principle. So for preaching, yes, books are the basis. Therefore the emphasis should be on the books. But it must be done in a proper way. Like, not just distribute the books and that's it. The book distribution must be properly followed up. It must be followed up by proper cultivation. Those who are taking the books, we must make it a point that they're reading the books and understanding the principles of the books, teachings of the books. And in this way, the purpose of book distribution will be properly served. But unfortunately, as you have seen, like in, we just took the just that aspect of book distribution, and we distributed so many books, we distributed so many, got so many points, we got so much money. But that was not the purpose of book, ultimate purpose of book distribution. The ultimate purpose of book distribution is to give them Krishna consciousness. We gave the books, but then we didn't consider whether they were reading the books or threw the book away in the dustbin. We should follow up our book distribution. Personally, I feel that whenever we distribute the books to a favorable person, we should take his phone number and address and contact him after a few days and find out whether he read the books. If he didn't read the book, then we must push him. Look, why did you buy the book? If you are not going to read it, then why did you take it? Please read the books. And then we should ask him, so you started reading the books? Yes. So do you have any difficulty understanding it? And if he says, if he has some difficulty understanding, then we must give him the answer. Give him, guide him. And then, if possible, go to his house. Personally cultivate him. So that is the real purpose of our book distribution. Then what will happen? Then these people will grow. These people will develop their Krishna consciousness. And eventually they will become devotees. At least I will request you all boys to do that. Those who are doing book distribution, take their advice, address, phone number, cultivate them. And create a backup arrangement here in the temple. That the favorable people, those who have taken the books, who have responded favorably, phone them up. Can you do that? Please do that. Phone them up. Keep in touch with them, cultivate them. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Guru Gauranga. I look forward to seeing you in a few days.
Thank you.
And who else? Any other? Yeah. Arti, you had a question. You had your hand up.
Manoj, I'm sorry. I feel that perhaps I've asked a question and I didn't mean to make it sound as if it was a challenge or a contentious question.
Sure.
I just wanted to know how also one can encourage the Grihastha devotees to become more active in the temple.
Like you can see, like the Grihasthas are becoming engaged. They're coming to daily, regular activities, helping the temple in so many ways. Some Grihasthas moved into the temple and helping, like for example, Manikrishna moved in with his family, Amal Bhakta. There's so many devotees. Another very nice example is Shyam Govinda. Lives outside, but every morning he is here. And his heart is here. You can see that. And some Grihasthas are retiring and coming to the temple, like Mukunda and Narayan. Another nice, very nice Grihastha is Srinath Krishna. We have so many nice examples. Like, it's, why should there be only brahmacharis? Those who can help, they will help. And so many girls are here who are helping. Like Malini is another example of retirement. She left home, came to the temple. Mitra Vrinda, Deva Shakti, Rangini Radhika, then Maithili, Naika. So many wonderful examples. Shyamangi Radhika, Sutapa, yourself.
But I guess that it should just not be a financial burden on the temple.
So cut down your expenses to that as much as possible. Just, like temple, some people temple have to maintain, like, as you can see. At least for the time being. But our mood should be to burden the temple the least possible. It's like a tree. When the tree is small, can you expect much from the tree? But let the tree grow up like a mango tree. It grows up to be a big tree. Then it gives you the fruits, it gives you shelter, it gives you so many ways the tree benefits you. So similarly, our movement, ISKCON, is in a growing stage. So at this stage, it needs a lot of support. But if we burden the institution, then it won't be able to grow. Oh, another two persons I forgot to mention is Shampiari and Radhapiari. So all of you are very good devotees. And some names I can't remember, so everyone here is very good devotee. So all of you serve nicely. Serve very nicely. And you will see how Krishna reciprocates. And if you have needs, instead of demanding, just pray to Krishna and see how Krishna will reciprocate. I am saying all this because now I won't be so much involved in the temple activities. Because most really I'll spend a lot of time in developing preaching and other developing activities than puja and management. And it's happening in a nice way. Krishna is sending good people to help us. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gold Premanandi.